podcast is dedicated to those that are in the mix, making it happen, and want to do better, better at everything. Each episode, our guest will help us be better, do better, and perform better. We will tackle topics that we all deal with in business and in life.
Sponsored by Sierra Wireless. Fully managed wireless connectivity. End-to-end wireless broadband solutions for permanent, temporary, and backup. Now with unlimited data options.
Welcome to The Wireless Way. I'm your host, Chris Whitaker, and today I have Mickey Long with me. Mickey is Vice President and Practice Director at Arcady Group, a PR and digital marketing firm based here in Atlanta, Georgia. With more than 25 years of B2B technology marketing, public relations, and analyst relations experience, he was part of the initial team that grew a global technology startup from $12 million to $170 million in 2 years. He also drove a multi-million dollar marketing campaign for IBM's global network and generated more than 100,000 sales leads for a data storage company within a year. He has served as board member and president of TAG's Marketing Society, in addition to providing high-level strategic counsel to clients. He manages the firm's demand generation and lead nurturing practice. Mickey, thanks for being with us today. How are you doing?
Thanks, Chris. I'm doing fine. Hope you are as well. Thank you for having
me. Oh, man. No, this is a great topic. So many of my business partners and my network are very interested in how they can market their business in today's new world. On that note, you know, other than your bio we just went over, tell me a little bit about yourself, about the road that you traveled to get here, and how does Arcady fit into that?
So I've been very, very lucky throughout my career. I started out as sort of a combination marketing and technology geek, I guess. And the startup company that's in my bio was a company called Hayes that did modems, which probably nobody remembers what a modem is anymore. But it predates the internet. It was the first opportunity for computers to actually talk to each other. So from that, I went from there to data storage, to IBM. So I've had the chance to work for small companies, large companies. I've worked in the distribution channel. I've worked for pretty much any number of industries within the tech space. And then when I found my way to Arcady, I've been at Arcady for a decade or so now. And, you know, it just is a matter of being able to pull all those things together. So I've been really, really blessed to be able to work with a group of really talented people there. And we've, you know, we work, as I said, B2B technology is our space. That's what we do. And we do everything in marketing, from websites, just marketing strategy, to PR, digital marketing, advertising. And, you know, we're always named one of the top agencies in the country by the publications in our space. So I guess we're doing something right. But it's been a great ride. It's been a really, really great ride so far. So and today is really dynamic because things change every day.
Is there a typical size to the type of companies that come to you? I mean, do you have, you know, small shops up to major enterprises that work with you?
Yeah, we have, I'll give you an example, like on the larger side, we work with companies like Cox Communications and Fiserv and a number of companies that way. We work with much smaller companies that are, I would say, a little bit more than startup mode, but, you know, it's in the neighborhood of, you know, anything like $5 to $10 million or anybody that wants to make a marketing investment. So we do run the gamut. It depends on what they're looking to do and how they're looking to do it. But we have a pretty wide range of clients.
See on your website, the banner says, we help B2B tech companies engage audiences, fill the funnel, and convert prospects to customers. I mean, that is powerful. What are some common mistakes that you see SMB tech companies make when they try to do this on their own?
Good question. I think it's some of the same things we see in larger companies, but the challenge is for a smaller company, any of the mistakes that are made are much, much more damaging to the company because resources tend to be a lot more constrained in a smaller organization. They don't tend to have the budget leeway, if you will, to make a number of mistakes. So a couple of things that really we see, it starts with the customer experience, and it's really knowing the customer. Companies that don't invest the time and effort to really, really get to know the customer and what drives that customer is really shooting in the dark as far as marketing goes. You really need to have that today. And that's probably the biggest differentiator that people can bring to the table is the customer experience. So not knowing that is really puts you behind the eight ball. The other thing that is another challenge we see is to not be data driven. In today's environment, you know, I remember way back in the day when we used to cry and scream about not having tools and not having the data to make us informed decisions. Now we have all the tools. We can't hide behind that anymore. We've got to be able to do it. So the reality is if you're not looking at the data that you're collecting across different platforms and different things that you do, it's hard to really move forward with the right plan. You know, I often tell clients, not everything in marketing is going to work. You just have to accept that. So the key is find the things, try different things and find the things that are working and keep doing those and quickly turn off the things that are not. And the way you do that is by having a good data stream, being able to look at the data and analyze that. So it's really your lifeline today that makes the difference between success and failure of the marketing effort. So you got to have the discipline to do that. So those are the big things.
I like what you said there. You know, it reminds me too, having been in telecom and technology sales for 20 years, having, you know, a marketing department that never talks to an end user, never talks to a selling partner, never goes on the field, but yet they're coming up with all these sales strategies and features and benefits pages. And, you know, you look at it and you go, wait a minute, you know, I don't know if that's is going to resonate. Like what you said, I think it is so important to get in the field or, you know, talk and understand what the actual customer needs, what problems are they dealing with. What else I've noticed, especially in technology sales, you know, it used to be easy. You would just talk to the IT manager or the CTO. But there's so many other people now in that sales process and that sales cycle, right? What do you see there? And, you know, who else should partners and, you know, salespeople be focused on when they're trying to market to a company, a technology, or some kind of communication service?
Smart person once told me that, you know, the real key to this, the secret is if you want to really know what your customers care about and what drives them, ask them. And it sounds silly, but the reality is so many people, you know, don't ask that you miss that. So, and you're absolutely right. In today's environment, the sales environment is so large anymore in some of these companies. It's a committee view of what's going on. So I think that's really what you have to be taking a look at is your the broadest approach possible. So I think that really becomes part of the effort of identifying the people in the sales chain early in the game and figuring out the right message to send each one. Because the messages are going to be different. The message to a CFO are different than the messages to a CEO and what have you. So
absolutely.
The goal is to try to reach them with the same, the different message, something that's tailored just for them.
Right. Yeah, that's right. I try to coach my partners that, we are talking about marketing. You know, if you're trying to sell internet connectivity, find out how does that company's marketing department use the internet. You know, if their website has a click here for more information or click here to place an order, I bet that CMO, that marketing leader, is measuring all those marketing qualified leads. And if the internet's down at the store and they're not getting the orders, I mean, that's a problem. You know, so so many, everybody's kind of touching technology in an organization now. You know, they kind of changed gears a little bit. Some of us, especially in my industry, we were accustomed to in-person events, you know, expos, conventions, lunch and learns, in-person meetings and trainings. In this new world, over the last 6 months, we haven't been able to do that. You know, how should business owners evolve and pivot to this new maybe marketing or awareness strategy?
Yeah, there's a couple things that you can do that we have found works very effectively. The first thing is to, instead of thinking of the live events as a large trade show where you just show up and people come and see you, if you can construct meaningful, smaller events for highly engaged prospects, you can replicate some of the value that you get from this. I'll give you an example. Recently, we did a wine tasting event for a series of prospects where what we did was we basically built this up as we brought in someone who is an expert in certain California wines. We offered them an opportunity to participate in this. We sent everyone their own bottles of wine to taste at the right times. And in doing so, here's the secret. We did this. We sent them the bottles of wines. We said, now, of course, in order to send this to you, we need your address. And so we will send you what is the equivalent of essentially a $50 bottle of wine or two bottles of wine if you'll give us her address to send it to it. So we had no problem getting addresses. We did a Zoom call. We went through this with our wine connoisseur, did the wine tasting. We had about, I think we had maybe 25 people that showed up in this event, which we could do online. And we're still following up on the leads that we got from that. And everyone seemed to like it. So I think that's the kind of thing, if you have a little bit of imagination, you can replicate or change the venue a bit to make it more of an online, but still relevant. So we've done that with a larger event. We've actually done a CMO roundtable with 70 people. And we replicated that using a platform that allowed us to do a virtual event that was very cool. So that's one area that you can do to replicate the or replace the live events. The other thing is try a number of different digital marketing tools. You know, maybe take a look at if you haven't looked at search marketing. Search marketing can be very, very effective, and it doesn't, you know, have to cost you. I mean, trade shows are very expensive. So if you're going to send a bunch of people to a show or you're going to exhibit at a show, you're putting a lot of dollars into that usually. So the reality is to look at a search budget for a while, you could probably get going with search for at least, you know, a lot less money or around the same money. Same thing with demand generation. So it's a matter of changing and shifting from like that old blanket email where you're carpet bombing people with emails and hopefully somebody's going to respond. Now what you want to do is be more selective about what you're doing. And when you get a prospect, try to engage that prospect in different ways to make that more effective. So that's what I would do as you know, and that's what we have started to do.
Why? You know, is there a formula, in your opinion, of how you would determine a good ROI for an event or for a virtual wine tasting? Advise your clients on how to measure ROI for marketing or events?
Yeah, here's the first secret of doing this is to not measure it against a specific number where you're going to come up and say the ROI is 42% and that's my goal. The way you need to do it is take a look at what your overall marketing goal is. So for example, if I know that my annual revenue goal for the company is X dollars, right? I should have an idea of how many sales it takes to reach X dollars. So I should be able to take a look and say, okay, so if I need so many sales to reach X dollars, what's my number as far as the number of qualified leads that I need to have to reach that sales volume? And if you back up through that process, you'll know what kind of marketing activity yields those kinds of numbers as far as qualified leads. It really is a very simple process, but I got to tell you, there's so many companies that don't do that. Or you ask the question, how many leads are you trying to generate? Well, I don't know, more than I did before. Well, I mean, you got to be a little bit better than that. So, you know, each marketing activity you do is going to generate a different ROI. And the ROI could be measured in terms of, you know, how many qualified leads you've got. You could measure it in terms of what the awareness number is if you're trying to build awareness for the company. So it all starts with having a good plan. And then you build a plan in a way that you know the plan's going to last you for maybe 3 months or so, maybe 6 months if you're lucky. But it's got to be something that you're willing to change, because that's what marketing's all about, is changing.
No, I like that. That makes a lot of sense to me as well, especially this year. It's a lot about changing. What advice would you have for an SMB tech company that says, you know, I'm just not ready or I'm not in a position to outsource my marketing? What can they do?
A couple of things. And again, I guess part of it is if the assumption is that they're not ready to outsource it because they don't have the dollar commitment to do that or to move that outside, then they have to make a really serious look at, you know, okay, how are their expenses being, you know, shared and what you're doing with them. If they don't have the expenses, a couple of things you could do is look at your most critical issue first. In other words, everybody wants leads, but in order to get leads, you have to make sure that people know who you are and what you do. So is awareness a bigger issue right away? And then if you do that, you focus on the awareness part of it. You focus on one thing. The next thing I would do, if you're not ready to outsource on that basis, I'd look to bring in and hire somebody that can do marketing. And this is something we see a lot of where, and it becomes a challenge for us as an agency, is when we work with a company that doesn't have a dedicated marketing person on board, it becomes much more challenging for us as an agency to be successful with them. Because frankly, if you're the CEO of a company or you're the owner of a small business, you have a lot more to do than just marketing. And the reality of it is, you know, you're always going to end up having to split your time. It's always going to be a struggle to give marketing the time that it needs. So that's where I would go first and say, you know, bring in somebody that is a good tactical person that knows what they're doing a little bit, and then have them work on that top priority. You can hire freelancers to do some of your graphic design work and maybe a web developer, but you should own the plan. And if you have the ability to bring somebody on board, if you find somebody that has a little bit of a broad skill set, you're going to be in much better shape.
Yes. Yeah. I was just thinking, cause you know, in preparation for our talk, I was talking with a good friend of mine that's in the channel, and he also does some consulting work, but, and he was saying that it's like, yeah, a lot of these smaller startup agencies that are in the telecom space, you know, they're spending, like you said, all their time selling and working with customers, and maybe they only have 30 minutes a week they can dedicate to some kind of tactic to build awareness or do some kind of marketing. And that does make quite a challenge. What's your opinion on social media? I mean, whether it be just LinkedIn alone, or can someone be successful with just LinkedIn?
LinkedIn is a really, really good tool. And like any good tool, in the right hands, it could be very effective. You know, you put a sculpting tool in my hands and you're in real trouble. But, you know, you got to have the right, you know, market. You've got to have the right approach. But we use LinkedIn for a number of clients because it just works really well. And social is something that, you know, if you're looking at it and saying, if I only have 30 minutes on a weekly basis, the first thing that I would do is to use social media to start building a brand presence. You know, write a blog post about something that's relevant in the space that you're in, post it on a blog for where you are, and then post it socially too, so you get some coverage out there. And then that, and the other thing that I want to make sure that you don't overlook if you're limited in time is your website. You know, I often tell people your website is the one thing you can't control. And what I mean by that is, if you're a company and you're in business, sooner or later, somebody's going to put a www in front of your name and a .com, a .net, a .something behind your name. They're going to find you. And what they see when that browser opens that first page is the first impression of your company. And what is in that website, if it's good content or bad content, that's their first impression of you as an organization. So it's important that you keep that website up and running and really stocked with pretty good content so that you get people to come back. So that's where I would focus up. I had a really limited amount of time to spend on doing marketing.
Great advice, great tips again. And once again, I love it how I just listen to you talk and just ideas pop in my head or thoughts pop in my head. So what else in the last 6 months, and you know, with all your experience in this space, has it changed much? Or do you feel like, you know, the marketing strategies and tactics, are they the same in the last 6 months as they were this time last year? What has changed big time in your experience that you kind of are even surprised by?
I guess it's really more what hasn't changed. I mean, obviously events became virtual and we're not doing that anymore. And even carrying that through to the sales organizations, are doing many more virtual sales calls. But beyond that, I mean, we're changing the message to be a more educational, consultative, message rather than a heavy sell message, because people are avoiding the sell messages. So the message changes a bit. But the reality is most other activities are still working. And most people that we are working with have said that they are not really cutting back dramatically on their marketing. We've had some people that have had to take some actions to do that. But for the most part, we found that, you know, it's working. And frankly, from a lot of places, there are people that have gotten innovative in terms of the what they're offering the marketplace, and they're actually doing quite well. So I mean, in everything else, there is a silver lining in this, perhaps. But I haven't seen that many things, and that surprises me that things have not changed more than they have. So I think it's just a matter of trying to get to a certainty at this point to we figure out whether, you know, and I hate to use this word because it's so overused, but the new normal, if this is truly a new normal, that's okay. But it would be nice to know that this is it. So we're not going to change this, you know, every 2 months or what have you. But for now, everything seems to be moving along pretty well.
Yes, I agree. That's been kind of my observation over the last 6 months, and asking my colleagues and my network, you know, the same question, you know, what's changed for you? You know, outside of, the obvious things going virtual, you know, a lot of people are still prospering. Business is still rolling. And, you know, the ones that haven't evolved or adapted, they're the ones that seem to be struggling. So that's why I'm often just encouraging and trying to motivate my partners in this network to think outside the box and do something you wouldn't normally do, like a podcast, for example. You know, I'm definitely taking my own advice there. You're my guest number four, and I'm very grateful, Mickey, that you made time for us today. As we wrap up, is there anything that I left out, any advice or last thoughts on marketing in this new age?
The only thing is just, like I said before, just it's a new age, but don't be scared of it. There are ways through it that, you know, it doesn't change everything. I've been in marketing for a long, long time. And I'll tell you that there's a lot of the same things. We have better tools now. We have better data. As I said, we've got some other things. But the reality of it is, marketing is the same as it ever used to be. I mean, we're trying to get the right message to the right people at the right time to make a right decision for us. And as long as we keep that kind of approach in mind, I think we'll be successful.
Excellent. So how can business owners find out more about Arketti and how to do business with you?
Yeah, as you said, you've been to our website, www.arketti.com. You can go there, and there's certainly a form there, or you can, you know, we have all of our bios there. So if anybody wants to reach out to me, it's real simple. My email address is very easy. It's mlong@arketti.com. And if anybody wants to just have a conversation about some of this stuff, I'd be happy to, because as you probably figured out, I love talking about marketing. So.
Well, that's great. I think some of my partners may take you up on that, because I'm at the same token, I'm saying, hey, you know, for the ones that's going to survive and really prosper, really anytime, even pre-pandemic, or pre-pandemic, I should say, always have to be sharpening the skills, looking for something new, and just be forward thinking. And what's the saying? What got you here won't keep you here. I appreciate this time. We really got some good nuggets of information here. Appreciate your time, Mickey. Thanks for joining us today.
My pleasure. Thank you for having me again.
Thank you for listening. Two of my upcoming episodes are really special to me in that two of my guests are combat veterans with incredible stories of service, sacrifice, survival, and resilience. November 11th is Veterans Day, a day we recognize those that served in the armed forces. Be sure to not only thank a veteran, but engage them in conversation. Ask them about the units they've served, where they were stationed, and let them know you support them. If you're a technology partner and want to know more about Sierra Wireless, email me at cwhitaker@sierrawireless.com or check me out on LinkedIn. My profile is in the show notes.
Sponsored by Sierra Wireless. Fully managed wireless connectivity. End-to-end wireless broadband solutions for permanent, temporary, and backup. Now with unlimited data options. Start with Sierra.